Yes.
Okay. So all of it kind of old school today. I don't have any slides, so everybody has to pay attention and use your Bibles, like Pastor Sean says. We are still in all script. And it's been an interesting study this week, looking at it and reading it over several times. Kind of challenging to me too. And it shouldn't be, but looking at the details of it, it's been kind of a challenge. The chapter title is called Love Your Own. Okay. If you want to turn your Bibles to John 13, we'll be in that most of the time this morning. I'm going to read the first verse here and we'll pray and get going. We start in verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Let's pray. Gracious Father, God, we are thankful to be together this morning, thankful for the time that you've given us to fellowship, to be around fellow believers, to fellowship around your word. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words and calm my heart as we go through this lesson, Lord, that you may be glorified and that we will learn exactly what you would have us to learn today. And God, may you be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple of questions to start off with. Now, we're all busy. We all have busy lives. If you have kids, you're busy just right off the bat. Add jobs, other family, you know, just life in general, we're busy. Busy with work, to-do lists. If you're anything like me, at the end of the day, when you've had a full day, and I'm just worn out, you know, I just want to plop down and do nothing. But then you think, did I do anything of worth today? Was there something missing in what we did today? Is your conscience unsettled? These are questions that were asked here. So that verse, really homing in on what he said here, what John wrote. Jesus said, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now think about the context of this. It's a very familiar passage here. Right after this verse, Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. You know, this is the last meal that they'll have together, the last time that they'll have together before Christ is betrayed and crucified. And we'll see through his example what real love looks like. So 13:1, Jesus loves his own in the hardest time of his walk on earth. How do you love your own? And who are your own? Now, Jesus, he walked everywhere. He poured himself out to everybody he came across his whole time walking on the earth. And this last time, sitting down with this meal with his disciples, these were his own. And one of the commentaries I read said this was these 12 disciples, and one of them would betray him that very night. This was his family. This was his community that he had built. These are the ones that he loved just as much as we would love our family, right? So how do you love your own? Well, Jesus showed us in the following verses. Verse 3, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So here's Christ. The disciples have been with him these last 2.5-3 years, right? They've witnessed all that he has done. They know who he is. They know he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And yet the one they're calling master, and I'm sure we've all heard sermons on these, the washing of the feet, this great humility that Christ shows, and not just humility, but his love for these men that have been with him for this time. So how do we show our love for the ones that are closest to us? Well, this first one, we start serving them, you know. It's hard for me a lot of times. I'm, after hard days at work, I've been crawling in an attic or under a house or something. I'm just, the older I get, the harder it is to do that kind of stuff. And I just want to sit and do nothing after that. But you know, my wife and my family still need me at the end of the day, even if I don't feel like it, even if I'm grumpy or have a grumpy face, as I usually do, even if I'm not grumpy. Love is not easy sometimes. True love. It takes an effort. It takes work. dealing with our own families, dealing with each other in our marriages. It takes work. It takes an effort to show that love and act on it. Not just say it, but true love acts, right? And I'm open to any commentary too, so you guys don't have to sit quiet. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to serve and love the people that you were never even married to.
Yeah.
Your family just multiplies.
Yeah. I grew up in a blended family. You know, my dad remarried. I've got 3 or 2 other sisters from that marriage. So, I mean, it's. Yeah, definitely. But it's something that we have to do. Right, if we are Christ and he loves us, as we'll see, you know, we're to follow his example and love those that are around us by serving them the best that we can. Verses 13-17, it says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So goes along with that first one. We're commanded to serve. We serve God, but we also serve each other. We serve our family first. Well, after God, we're called to serve God and love him first, right? And that's something that I've always tried to teach, especially my boys, my kids. You love God first and you love your family. Everybody else, everything else is secondary to those things. So we're to serve one another. What are some ways that we can serve each other?
Jesus had those same things that were completely opposite of how people see it. And for us, the idea of serving leadership is like it's almost like trending. You know, it's you know, the books written on. And for us, it's sort of leadership, it's not one thing.
Yeah.
Revolution.
Oh yeah.
Here. And for them, the Jews, they despised being
slaves. Sure. Yeah.
And so when he's telling them this, their mindset of what it means to be shocked.
Yeah.
You know, he's telling them to be a slave.
Yeah.
To put others of my own. Even more so, because it would be at least the desire of the cats that he did. So, I mean, there's ways of serving that obviously are very beneficial, you know, because you know, if you want to be
let her grow with that, but they're so difficult because my mom was sick on and off with some of my after she had her stroke, they were having any of her medication. Some of them very much changed her personality. And she became a very angry, very hard to live with. And I will never forget when that she had a seizure. And I asked my dad, I said, "Yeah, I'm still with us." I said, "You know, all my friends, you know, family would go through divorces and go in different places and all that." And he looked at my family and said, "And he said, what do you mean?" You know, and we were in the middle of the hallway. I was in my nightgown. My mom was laying there, kind of falling around, and my dad was there. It just was an intense moment, and he said, "I promised God I would love your mom and her siblings and help her." And he goes, "When I made that promise, I didn't know what it was going to be. There's no way you can know those things." He said, "But I'm not going to quit. And this really isn't your mom. This is a result of medication and treatments and stuff like that. And I faithfully that one of these days your mom's going to be okay and she'll be back." And I will tell you that that was a powerful lesson to me, because there were many, many more instances after that that were very, very hard as 14, 15, 16 years ago. A lot of things I wanted my mom to be there for that she wasn't, and she just was very, very difficult. But I kept that in the back of my mind, and I think as I got older, that helped me in my relationship. And now she's going through the Alzheimer's and dementia. And things like that. There's already a history of learning to love and hard times, and realizing that while my relationship with my mom is not what I would have wanted it to be when I looked at my friends, it was what God had designed it to be. And I knew I am. You know, and that was something that my sister and I have had for years, and God has had to give me compassion. She struggled walking. And so sometimes God calls us to love our families when they're not lovable and in those hard situations. But as I look back, as a believer, I realize that God brought me through that one step at a time. It wasn't the overall thing that He taught me to love and to serve the people who live close to me. And because of that, I think that's how.
You need to serve easier to serve people you feel like deserve the service, or if it's something you don't mind giving. But this is supposed to teach us to be more mindful of serving those regardless, and in things that may be sacrificial.
Oh yeah. When you were talking, I was thinking about I have an uncle named Bob. It's my aunt's husband. When my great-grandfather was dying from cancer, my great-grandmother had dementia at the time. And my grandpa, he got to the point where he couldn't take care of himself much either. But my Uncle Bobby was over there. They lived across the field from him. Showed that love and compassion for him. He would go over and give my grandpa a bath and take care of him. No, it was his wife's grandparents. So yeah, those are great examples of how we should be, right?
It's great about this story is that he watched Jesus speak
to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He knew.
He knew. Yeah.
He's God divine, so he knew.
Yeah, yeah.
The ultimate betrayal.
Exactly.
And he watched his feet and taught this lesson because he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like even the people that betrayed me washed their feet too.
Yeah.
You know, they betrayed you. And that as a person who's gone through a lot this year and been betrayed, it's pretty rough to sit there and swallow that and be like, okay, Lord.
Paul says later too, like, what benefit is it for you to serve those who can serve you back because they need to do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes the story so no one knew.
Yeah.
It's almost easy to serve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the burden that he was carrying.
Yeah.
No one was.
Yeah.
No one had food.
Yeah. He knew. He knew his hour had come. He knew what was coming within the next day.
He served the lowest task on his hardest day.
Yeah.
And he does have a bias of some often is, you know what? I live in a fallen world. Okay, I'm a believer, but I am a sinner. And every day I'm totally ashamed of something that I have done, whether it's an attitude or a word or whatever. I'm called to serve sometimes people who are not believers. And they don't have the same faith that I do. They are really in darkness. And so you are called to serve those who aren't going to understand, who aren't going to hear, who aren't going to serve back. But the calling has changed. And that's really, really hard. Even sitting with families and often with them, you know, realizing, okay, the people I'm speaking with, they're not believers. They are falling, they are acting like not believers.
Yeah.
It's sinners. Not that that justifies, but it gives me that mindset of how much I struggle as a believer. Why is it not to not have Christ and go through some of the trials and struggles?
Yeah.
For the comforter.
Yeah.
Spirit.
Yeah.
He provides us so much and harnessing our tongues or convicting us when we need it or calling us to serve somebody who we otherwise would have. Like,
yeah.
When we were going through all this stuff, we went to Pastor Al Mickey Midas saying this, and we were like, listen, like, she's doing all this thing to me. Like, what do you expect from the center? And like, from that perspective, we were like, oh. Like, why would we expect a sinner to act like they have the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And so that helps at least serve those who feel are like undeserving.
Yeah.
And they're probably deserving the most because they need the gospel presentation and the totally different character of us.
Mm-hmm.
Then we need each other.
Right.
That's the whole point, right?
Yeah. And all of those struggles like that point to us more. How much more should we love the ones that are closest to us? Yeah. Let's read verse 34 and 35. This is Jesus still talking to his disciples. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And here's the hard part. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. From a human fleshly perspective, that's nearly impossible for us to love that much as Christ loved his disciples and loves us. But yet we're commanded to do that, right? Jesus made the time to prepare, to love and invest in the lives of these he loved, his disciples, his hard-headed, sometimes driven from other perspectives, disciples that he had. But yet he spent that time to invest in them, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. I think of a lot of parents in here, that's what we're supposed to do with our kids. A lot of times I feel I failed in some of that, investing that time and showing that all-consuming love to them. A human tendency for us, for me, going through hard times or just going through a rough day, sometimes I just want to just be by myself for a little bit. You know, I just need some quiet time. And that's okay. Sometimes we need that quiet time to recharge and refocus, as we've seen in some of these lessons, go into our secret place for a little bit. But on the other side of that, we're also commanded, love your own. You have to, we must, I must invest that time in them, in my wife, my daughter. Author in the book gives an example of taking his 10-year-old daughter out on a date in the middle of all his treatments and everything for this, I think it was Hodgkin's lymphoma that he was dealing with, the author of this book. And 10-year-olds take a lot to heart that we don't realize. And in the book, he gives the example of taking his daughter out on a date and just her and him for the day, going out to eat and going shopping and all that. And he said she came back a different girl that night because she had that time with her dad. She was okay now because she understands. And that's something that we need to do as parents, as family, is to take care of each other, take the time one-on-one just to be with them. That's something I plan on doing with my daughter too, taking her out on a date that I haven't done yet. So, except for the tubing yesterday, that was fine. We were on the tube together. She was screaming a little bit. I might have been a little bit too. I don't know. Might have been from the salt mist spraying in my face. I don't know. But moments like that, even just like sitting around the dinner table laughing and joking with each other, you know, those are the times that we have to cherish, because those are the times. It doesn't have to be big events, you know, that make memories. Sometimes it's just sitting around playing a game together, playing cards together like we do sometimes, or just around the dinner table talking about our day and joking around with each other, laughing. Those are the times where we can really get into the hearts of our children and our family.
Our tendency is to want to provide better for our kids than what we have.
Right.
But down deep inside, they want us.
Yeah.
And even when it's that kind of stretch, you know, in the end, the kids aren't going to remember the things we fought.
Right.
They're going to have the time that we spent.
Yeah.
Putting our desire to lounge around to the side.
Yeah.
They're going to remember spending the time loving them.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, decision 9 from the book, if you're keeping track, is love your own, like we've been talking about. Love the ones that are closest to you. And sometimes, especially in a military town like this, it may not be flesh and blood. Sometimes it's the closest friends, like this group, or even just groups within the church. You may not have flesh and blood family close to you, but you can be just as close as family. That's the way we feel about a lot of folks here, even in this room. They are our own, so we love them, right? A quote here from the book says, passionately, passionately cherish your family and love them as Christ loves them. Make every day special. Make every good day special. We may have bad days, and we might be off. We might have an off-script day for a week or a month, but on those good days, cherish it. We can't control everything, but we can always love. Right? Like we said, do we need our time alone with God? Yes, absolutely. We have to have that time to refresh, to grow closer to God. When God gives the strength and grace we need, turn towards your own and earnestly love on them. Do what you can to love the people that God puts within your reach. The question we have to ask ourselves at the end of the day, how did you live your life today? Was it fruitful? Did it mean anything to those around you or to your family? Don't wait for tomorrow to love. Because as we've seen in the news all over the place, there is no promise of tomorrow. it could be a 4th of July parade. I was reading a story this morning that there was a 2-year-old boy that was shot. Both his parents were shot and killed at the parade. And he's still calling out for his parents. He doesn't even know they're gone yet. We're never guaranteed tomorrow. It's reminded of a verse in James. Well, we all try to plan our days. We've got our own script for the day and how we think it's supposed to go and all that. But you know, of course, the Bible speaks to that too. I'll start in 4:13, James. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go in such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Here's the point. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In the context of what we've been talking about, we don't have a lot of time on this earth compared to eternity. So what's the most important things, people we need to invest our time, our love in? Yeah. It's not video games or spending time watching football on TV or getting all riled up on everything. And it's okay to have some passions like that sometimes, but don't let it distract from the most important things. It's your family and those around you that are your own. That was a phrase that Jesus said, or that was spoken of him. He loved his own. So we ought to love our own as well.
So this is especially with the newer generations. So that's the trick. That's in there. In the personal world.
Yeah.
It's easier to distinguish yourself as a believer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Experience even a little bit of putting somebody else first.
Yeah. Or even makes the news.
Or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
And it's like they're almost there.
That's what we're supposed to be known as.